aren't you thankful for grace? Amen. And mercy. Amen. Praise the Lord. Thank you, musicians. Amen. God bless you tonight. Let's just bow our heads for a word of prayer while you're standing tonight. Father, we're so thankful, Lord. Lord, for your grace and mercy, Lord, to us. Father, Lord, even when we didn't deserve it, Lord, you came down, Lord, and you showed us what true love is, Lord. And Lord, you demonstrated that love by stretching your arms out on Calvary and, Lord, taking not only the sting of death, but the shame, Lord, of our sin and the blackness of the sin and shame that we had, Lord. You took it upon yourself, Lord, and you've delivered us from it, Lord. You've washed us white as snow with your blood. Oh, God, how we thank you for that tonight. Amen. Lord, there's no way we could thank you enough, Lord, for what you've done for us. Lord, we begin to meditate, Lord, on what you've actually accomplished for us. Amen. Oh, God, it just makes us want to worship you, Lord. It makes us want to praise you. Lord, the work that you've done, it's for all time. It's for eternity. It's finished. It's done. There's nothing in this world or in the pits of hell that can keep your people, oh God, from that great eternal life. How we thank you, Father. I just pray that you just be with us tonight as we just open your word, Father. May you just anoint your word and anoint your people tonight. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Amen. Well, it's good to be here tonight, amen, and just giving Brother Doug a little break here tonight, so thankful that he can get out of town and catch a little breather. And I see more and more of us have been unmasked, amen, people getting their vaccinations and walking around without a mask and sort of remembering what folks look like, so that's nice, amen. We certainly appreciate that, and we're thankful that, amen, that we can see a light at the end of that tunnel. Amen. Amen. Do you love the Lord tonight?
Amen.
Amen. Are you glad to be here tonight? And just, you know, I don't know, you know, we often say, but I'm just glad that I'm a believer. Amen. I didn't make myself a believer. I'm glad that I'm a believer, though. I'm glad he made me a believer. There's just something in me that wants God. Amen. I couldn't put that in myself. He did that. Amen. But I can sure recognize it and thank him for it. Because there's so many people out there that don't. Amen. But, amen. Well, if you have your Bible tonight, we'd like to invite you to turn over to Genesis chapter 22. Amen. I'm going to take this off because I can't preach with a jacket on. Amen. Genesis 22, verse 15. I'm going to read a few little sections of Scripture here tonight, just as a little launching pad. Amen. Genesis chapter 2, verse 15. The angel of the Lord called unto Abraham out of heaven the second time and said, "By myself have I sworn, saith the Lord, for because thou hast done this thing and hast not withheld thy son, thine only son, that in blessing I will bless thee, and in multiplying I will multiply thy seed as the stars of heaven." So remember, this is that final test of Abraham offering his son, amen, offering Isaac. But he said, "I will bless thee, and I will multiply thy seed as the stars of heaven, and as the sand which is upon the seashore, and thy seed shall possess the gates of his enemies. And in thy seed shall all the nations of the earth be blessed, because thou hast obeyed my voice." Amen. And then, so we can read that, and we can take that as physical Israel. We understand that Abraham was the patriarch, amen, of the nation of Israel. And so we can look at that and say, yeah, look at Israel, right? His seed is just, you know, scattered all over the earth. And we can see that being fulfilled in Christ coming through Israel. But Paul, thank the Lord for sending Paul, amen. Paul comes over in Galatians chapter 3 and he says this to us. Amen.
Amen.
He says, you are all children of God by faith in Christ Jesus. For as many of you have been baptized into Christ, have put on Christ. There is neither Jew nor Greek. In other words, Jew or Gentile, right? There is neither bond nor free. There is neither male nor female, for you are all one in Christ Jesus. Amen. In other words, that none of those things matter. Amen?
Amen?
As far as God's order in his plan, we're all equal in Christ. Amen? But he said, if you be Christ's, then you are Abraham's seed.
Amen.
And heirs according to his promise.
Amen.
What God promised Abraham, you are an heir to that.
Amen.
And then in Revelation 3:21, to him that overcometh will I grant to sit with me in my throne, even as I also overcame and am set down with my Father in his throne. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches.
Amen.
Amen. God bless you. You may be seated tonight. Amen. I'm so thankful for God's eternal word. Amen. And this is God's word. This is God's thoughts, his very thinking expressed. That's his word. Amen. Isn't that amazing tonight? Amen. We should never take that for granted, that God has provided that for us. Amen. That he's thought so much of us that he would take his thinking and then he would express it in a word and he would give it to us, not only in a written form, but in a revealed form. Amen. The revealed word. And this word that we read is prophesying of you and me.
Amen.
Amen. I don't know about you, but I love to find out where I'm written in the word. Amen. It's important. Amen. It's important to find ourselves in the word. We've got to know who we are, and we only know by what the word tells us about ourselves. Amen. And then if the word tells us what we are, then if someone else comes along and tries to tell you something different, you point back to the word and says, but God said this about me. Amen. So it's important to know where we fit into God's word and into his program, because his word can never fail. His word will never pass away. He said, heaven and earth will pass away, but my words, they're a firm foundation. Amen. Hallelujah. When God spoke to Abraham, he saw and knew that he would have a Gentile bride. Amen. He had you in his mind when he made that promise to Abraham. He knew he was speaking spiritually and naturally.
Amen.
Amen. He knew his word has manifold expressions, manifold manifestations. And he knew that in type he was speaking of his bride, and that he was going to send a first church age messenger, a prophet named Paul, to come back and tell us that. Amen.
Amen.
Naturally, it's obvious, but it took the revealed word to speak to us and show us spiritually that we are included in that promise.
Amen.
Amen. That word was entrusted to Paul. That's why we stay with what Paul preached. Amen. That's why we rest on what Brother Branham said about Paul. Amen. He said, I just preached what Paul preached. Amen. And we said, I'm resting on that. Amen. Because Paul's message, Paul's gospel, is what all will be judged by.
Right.
Amen. Isn't that what he said?
Right.
He said, if an angel from heaven or anyone else come preach any other gospel, let him be accursed.
Right. Yeah.
Amen. Amen. So then we see in Revelation 3 where John is given a revelation by an angel. Amen. And he's shown overcomers.
Amen.
Right.
Amen.
Right.
He spoke to him and he said to him that overcometh in that age. The one that I read to you, that's our age. There's overcomers from every age, but he said that them that overcome in that age, there's a special age. Amen. Each age was special, of course. But of course, this one means more to us because this is where we are. Amen. But it was a special overcoming, and it was a special reward for the overcomers of that age. So that's why tonight I want to speak to you on end time overcomers.
Amen.
End time overcomers. Amen. And you should just stand up and say, that's me.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. You shouldn't think of somebody else when you say end time overcomer.
Right.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. You should say, that's speaking about me.
Right.
I'm going to listen up tonight because we're going to talk about me. Amen? Amen. Hallelujah. He said that the overcomers in the end time would sit with me in my throne. Yes. Oh, hallelujah. Amen. There will be overcomers and there will be a great reward. Yes. Hallelujah. Amen. And those overcomers will possess the gate of their enemy. Amen. Amen. These overcomers have the revelation of Jesus Christ to them personally. Amen. So personal that the gates of hell cannot prevail against it. They overcome by the blood of the Lamb and the word of their testimony. Not by their strength, not by their might, but by His Spirit, saith the Lord. Amen. Brother Branham said the word overcome means to stand the test. Amen. Amen. So I'm looking at those that are going to stand the test tonight. Amen. It means to prevail, to gain the victory, to overcome, not falling to temptation. Amen. Not falling to unbelief, not led astray by lies. Amen. But staying with the Word of God.
Amen.
Amen. There's a special people for the end time that are built to overcome the special test in this hour. We're not facing the same thing David faced. We're not facing the same thing, you know, even Peter and Paul faced in their day. We're facing an end time trial. Amen? Yes, sir. Amen. To be an end time overcomer, you have to overcome the end time trials. Of course, we know that there's similarities, right? The spirits never die. They just, you know, they just change faces, as it were. Amen. And we know that the enemy has the same bag of tricks that he recycles. He gets smarter about it and things. But there is a different anointing at the end time. We remember Noah when in his day, we're not fighting Noah's battle. We're not overcoming Noah's temptations, but yet we see similarities because that was an end time as well.
Right.
Amen? And the Bible teaches us that Noah believed God, and he believed God in an intellectual age. So there's a lot of similarities. But he believed God, and he stayed with the Word of God. He overcame the temptation to trust the scientific evidence. Amen. The prophet tells us that they had instruments that they could shoot up into the sky. They could prove without a shadow of a doubt there was no water up there for rain to come. But Noah had to overcome that.
Amen.
Amen. That was the temptation in that hour, was to go along with the prevailing thought of the day, which was their scientific thinking. And so many people got caught up into that it was only 8 souls that were saved.
Amen.
Only 8 overcame that temptation.
Yeah.
Amen. We believe science, of course, when it agrees with the Word of God.
Yeah, sure.
Amen.
Right.
There's nothing wrong with believing science. I mean, science is just, if science is on point, all they're doing is reporting what God has already done.
That's true.
Now, there's some places where they just need to catch up,
right?
And that's, we take the Word of God.
Sure.
Amen. But the religious people of the day, Noah's day, took science over the Bible.
Amen.
Or over the Word. It wasn't even the Bible. It was the revealed Word to Noah.
Yeah.
Amen?
Amen.
The overcomer stayed right with the Word no matter how close. Amen. How close it looked. Job showed us that sometimes you have to stand alone.
Yeah.
Amen. He was an overcomer that overcome the temptation to give in to peer pressure.
Amen.
Right? When they tried to, they challenged his personal revelation. Job knew that he had met God's requirement.
Right?
Right? He knew he had a revelation of what God required of him, and he knew in his heart of hearts that he had met God's requirement. It was personal revelation to him. But yet his comforters and his friends came and tried to pressure him. And ultimately he had to stand on that revelation alone. These were his friends, his confidants. Amen. I don't care how close someone is to you. Friend, spouse, brother, sister, mother, father. You have to stand on your own revelation.
Amen.
Amen. Job showed us that. That's what an overcomer does. There comes a point in every overcomer's life where they will be tested, and it's them and Jesus Christ. But he didn't succumb to the temptation to curse God and die, like his wife said. Amen. He didn't succumb to the temptation to quit on God. Amen. He didn't give into the peer pressure. He knew who he was. Hallelujah. Amen. We've got to know who we are in this hour. Amen. Abraham was the father of the faith because faith was his defining characteristic. Amen. Not liar. Faith. Did Abraham lie? Yeah. But that wasn't his defining characteristic. He was the father of the faith. Amen. Not failing with Ishmael and Hagar. Sure, he failed. But it was faith. Amen. That was what his defining characteristic was. Amen. What the Bible speaks back of him as the father of our faith. Abraham's seed is what we're called. Amen. Faith, and it was counted to him for righteousness. Hallelujah. Abraham believed God's promise to him in spite of the physical evidence. Amen. Abraham didn't just have physical evidence or lack of physical evidence for his promise. He had physical evidence against his promise. Amen. The promise was you'll have a son by Sarah. And he had to overcome what his eyes told him every day. He had to overcome the aches and pains in his body every day. He had to overcome watching Sarah get older and older and older every day, watching her body die. And yet stand firm, overcoming the temptation to just throw up in his hands and say, it can't happen. Amen? It's been 10 years and nothing's happened. Maybe I just misunderstood God. Amen? You know the devil, he's clever. Right? He may not come try and tempt you, tell you that God's word isn't true. See, it wouldn't be, Abraham, that God is a liar. Oh, you know, Abraham, it's not that God is wrong or God can't do it, but maybe you just misunderstood. Amen. Challenge your revelation. Amen. He had to know that he knew that he knew. He had to know that he had heard from God. Now God proved it to him several times, right? And he'll prove it to you, brother, sister. He will. He'll confirm himself to you. Amen. But he had to overcome that temptation. That's actually what he overcame. Amen. What your eyes are telling you that's contrary to the word. Sometimes the problem is that we try to make the word say something that it didn't say. Right? People try to stand firm on an imagined word. Amen. Something that they think that the word says, but it don't say that. Amen. You can't overcome on that. The end time overcomer knows the word. Doesn't just know the word, but knows the author. And knows the spirit behind the word. Knows the intent behind it. When Brother Branham talked about the love letter that he and his wife would exchange, it was a knowing of the individual. So it wasn't just all about the letters that were written on the page, but they knew the heart and intent behind it. It's knowing the author so well that you know his word because you know him. Amen. We can see it, you know, when people, when they preach a prosperity gospel, right? And they say, You won't get sick, or if you're facing financial problems, it's because you don't have faith. Right? And they're making the word say something it didn't say. You know, or with this COVID thing, and it's like, well, you know, you're part of the bride, you're not going to get this. Where does the word say that?
Right.
How can you overcome with something like that that isn't even part of the word?
Yeah.
There's no promise that you won't get sick, right, that you won't get trials. Right. Amen? Okay. That things won't go wrong. People in their life, they think, man, I'm serving God now. And then the first thing that goes wrong, and it's like, well, I guess I didn't. Oh, I don't know. Everything's falling apart. What happened? Well, you just got a target on your back. That's all. You're just, you know, when you're a son of God, now it's time for some trials. And they quit on God because they don't know His word. Because they don't know Him. And they're standing on false, or they're standing on a foundation of sand. It's not in the word. The end time overcomer has the true revealed word. And stands on that against everything else. Amen. Amen. This word must be ours, brother, sister. Amen. We must be a possessor of the truth. We've got to hold on to it. It belongs to us. It's given for us. Amen. You know, that's why, you know, I don't know about you, but I kind of get a little irritated when I can tell when people speak about the message, you know, and it's like they're not a possessor of it, right? They're thinking, they're speaking about it in other terms, like I don't know it, right? Well, I know the God of the message.
Yeah.
Right? I've met Him.
Yeah.
Right? They told Brother Brown, you just don't know your Bible. Right? Well, I mean, nothing could be further from the truth on that. But he didn't argue that. He said, well, that may be, but I know the author.
Yeah.
Amen. This word was sent to me. It was sent to you. Amen. This word is ours. We're the possessors of it. Amen. This is our land. Amen. This is our promise. The message of Malachi 4 was sent to you to turn your heart back. Amen. This is why, you know, we always say what you believe matters. It matters what you're taught. Because you, in order to be an overcomer, in order to stand, you have to know what you believe, and it has to be according to the word.
Amen.
It doesn't do any good to have the most fiery evangelist come through. Amen. And preach his heart out. The hardest preaching in the world won't do any good if there isn't a solid foundation behind it.
Amen.
But once you have that solid foundation, amen, then you've got something to overcome with. Amen. Then the power can come and anoint that. Amen. Be an end time overcomer. The end time overcomer will have the truth that's been divinely revealed to you. Amen. A personal experience with the Holy Spirit. Hallelujah.
Amen.
The Bible says that we overcome by the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony.
Yes.
That's the word of our testimony. Amen. The divinely inspired and revealed word of God. Once Abraham had that revelation to him, it wasn't like Lot, where Abraham said, God said. He got it indirectly. Abraham heard from God personally, directly, amen? He knew that God had spoke to him, and then he could stand on it. He could stand in the face of any physical evidence that was contrary to that word. Hallelujah. Amen. In this hour, we look at our own flawed, weak flesh. Amen. We see people that have people problems. people that have issues, amen. But he says, I have a spotless bride.
Amen.
He said he has made us to be kings and priests. Amen.
Amen.
He said he has made us to sit in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. But what we see is weak, frail. Amen. He says, I have a bride from which I've completely rolled away the reproach of unbelief. Hallelujah. Amen. We look at this old weak flesh, but his word says we've been changed. We look at the failures and faults, but he said he has already made us. Hallelujah. The end time overcomer will catch that revelation.
Amen.
The end time overcomer is not looking at what they can see with their eyes.
Amen.
Amen? They know what God has done in their soul.
Amen.
Amen.
They know that they're a new creation.
Amen.
A new creature in Christ Jesus.
Amen.
In spite of the physical evidence. They believe God's word. They know it's been revealed to them.
Amen.
They know what God has come and done for them in their life.
Amen.
And nobody can talk them out of it.
Amen.
No devil in hell can take it away from them.
Amen.
No man can speak against it and take it away from them. Amen?
Amen?
But that faith must be tested and tried. It must go through the hall of critics. It must go through the fire and be tested and proved what it is.
Amen. Right.
Hallelujah. We will be tempted. And those temptations must be real temptations.
Right. Amen.
Amen? You know, some of you might be tempted by coconut cream pie. That is not a temptation for me. I think it's gross. But I can be tempted by apple pie, chocolate pie. I mean, I could name off a bunch, right? The temptations that we face are real temptations. Amen? I wouldn't find it a trial to be tested with coconut cream pie. That's not a real temptation for me. But it might be for you. Right? There are things that are going to test you. That wouldn't be a test for me, but there are things that will test me that wouldn't be a test for you. Amen. But the things that we are tested with, they must be real temptations. When Jesus was tested by the devil, when he was tempted, they were real, brother, sister. They had to be real temptations. Something that you know, that looked good.
Right?
Something that he could have stepped into for it to be a real temptation.
Sure.
I mean, it's just like in the Garden of Eden. Amen? We understand that the fall happened and there was lots of things that happened because of the fall. But that choice had to be a real choice.
Sure.
In order for you to be on a free moral agent, you have to have two choices.
Yes.
And they have to be real choices. They can't be one just fake, right? Otherwise, there's no choice at all. You've got to have real tests. You've got to have the opportunity to really be tempted. And it could be a temptation for you to prove what's really there. Amen? Then it's a real overcoming. It's a true victory when you overcome that. Amen? Amen. Let's read. I'm going to read a few quotes tonight out of this message. How can I overcome? He said, Jesus told us how to do it. Overcome means to stand the test. That's right. Like all the old saints did, like Jesus did amidst all of his enemies, he stood the test. Everything he was tested against, he stood it. In the very face of sickness and him being Messiah, he healed them. In the face of death, He brought it back to life. Amen. In the face of Calvary, his own death, he defeated it by surrendering himself. Why? By the word said, you destroy this temple and I'll raise it up in 3 days. The word said so, see? Amen. And in the presence of death, he defeated it. He overcome death. In the presence of hell, he defeated hell and overcome hell. Yes. In the presence of the grave, he overcome the grave. Why? All by the word and humility. Oh my, there's the real man. There's the one to make your example. See, he defeated everything and overcome it. Same message in paragraph 145. He says, sometimes we're tempted to go back. Say, no, not me. Oh, really? Are you sure? We're sometimes tempted to go back. Many of you tempted to go back to the denomination, go back and take up, because all the world would say, what denomination do you belong to, or what church are you affiliated with? We're tempted to do that. All of us are. He said us. That means he's included in that. He's talking about the flesh. Right? Our sisters are tempted to go back. Go back and join up with some of the rest of the churches, some of the assemblies or the churches of God, or some of them still be Pentecostal, let your hair cut off and dress just about any way you want to. See, you're tempted to do that and go back and be popular with the wicked generation that we're living with in the flesh. Wouldn't our flesh be much happier doing that? Maybe. I don't know. I don't care. Right. Amen? But he says, you're tempted. It's there. It's a pull. It's constantly a pull. Amen? Many of us have family that are in denominational churches. Wouldn't it be so much easier to just talk to them about the Lord if we had that in common, right? Just, and they think we're so weird, and right? That's a temptation, right? Tempted doesn't mean you do it, though. It's something that we overcome. He says, when this is the major sin of our days. What's he talking about? The major sin among our people, worldliness. As the Bible said, the Laodicea age, she's worldly. Rich, have need of nothing, don't know that she's naked, miserable, wretched, and blind. That's the sin of our day. When you hear the word of God call out against it, and then you take the other route, you're unpopular with the world. But you're tempted to go back. I know you keep saying to me, I know you're saying all the time, I know you get tired of me harping on these things. I get tired of seeing you do it too. That's right. This sin I'm trying to tell you about, say, what are you harping it on for? Stop doing it then. I'm trying to save your life by the word. I get tired also, so just straighten up. This is a sin. Shouldn't be done. Yes, sir. We are to overcome these things. We expect to be tempted by them, the world. You love the world, the things of the world, the love of God is not in you. Amen. Amen. Part of overcoming in Laodicea is overcoming that temptation. Amen. Overcoming the temptation of nominal religion. Young people, you have to go through that. Amen. Because maybe you have people you know, classmates or friends or whatever, and they go to this church, and you have to go through that trial. Amen? Being tempted by nominal Christianity or nominal religion, because it's so much easier to follow that brand of Christianity in the flesh. It's more acceptable. It's more palatable to the world. It's more palatable to your family. It's more politically correct. It's more popular. Yeah. Amen? But your job is to overcome that. Amen. Your place, your position, why you were put here is to overcome that temptation. Yeah. Overcoming is not going back to easy believism, even if it has a message label on it. It's not going back to letting down the standards of holiness, of dress, of things in the word that we stand on. Overcoming is upholding those. Amen. It's overcoming the temptation to get lax in our walk. Because our flesh wants to get lax in our experience. It's overcoming that. An end time overcomer overcomes Laodicea. They overcome worldliness creeping into the church. Amen. You said a moment ago, I'm an end time overcomer. Amen. Then your job is to overcome that worldliness trying to make its way back into the church. Amen. Hallelujah. It's not going back down the easy road. Overcoming is walking the harder way. Oh, the temptation is there to walk down easy street. Amen. But the end time overcomer is not interested in that. Amen. They're interested in overcoming that temptation. They're not interested in an intellectual gospel, a powerless religion. They're interested in overcoming man taking control of the church and man leading the church and man's intellectualism taking control. They're interested in the Spirit leading. Amen. An end time overcomer is interested in crucifying their flesh, dying out, no matter what they have to do to keep that revival going. Amen. An end time overcomer wants to live hot, not lukewarm. Amen. They know for a fact that the Antichrist spirit is even now working in the church. Amen. And the end time overcomer has been called to withstand that spirit. Amen. To come against it. To pray it out of the church. To fight against it. Amen. Not flesh and blood, but principalities and powers. Amen. There's a pale horse rider, brother, sister, that's riding right now. Amen. There's an anointing that's trying to deceive the very elect of God, if it could. Yes. It's binding up the church together for that great burning, and it's trying to get the elect to join along with. But the end time overcomer stands alone on God's word. Amen. They won't stand for changing one word of it. Amen. They say, maybe I don't have the faith to operate every word, but I sure won't stand in the way of somebody else doing it. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. 1 John chapter 4, verse 3. Every spirit that confesses not that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is not of God. This is the spirit of Antichrist, whereof you have heard that it should come, and even now already is in the world. But you, little children, you are of God, little children, and have overcome them. Amen. Who's the them? The Antichrist spirits that are working. Yes. Amen. Amen. You have overcome them, because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. Amen. Hallelujah. The Holy Spirit that's been given to you is greater than any force in the world working right now. Amen? Amen. Do you think the enemy knows that? Yes. Of course he knows that. He knows that he can't fight a face-to-face battle with the spirit that's in you. What you possess is greater than anything he can muster. And he knows it. So he tries to keep you from it.
Amen.
Amen. He tries to keep people from getting born again by this spirit. Because he knows that that's where the power lies. He works against that old-fashioned Holy Ghost revival. Amen? He works to to water down the worship as much as possible.
Right.
Because he knows that there's power in that Holy Ghost.
Right.
He works against the atmosphere of faith
right.
in the church.
Right. Yes, sir.
He tries to bring spirits to come and interrupt the meeting.
Right.
He tries to get you riled up before church. He tries to get you looking at your brother and point your guns at each other.
Right. Yep.
So that he doesn't have to be the one on the receiving end.
Right.
Because he knows if we get our guns pointed the right way, he can't stand. He knows that he's a defeated enemy. So he works against that atmosphere of faith. Amen? He works against trying to get somebody down at the altar to repent. Amen? To die out and get filled with the Spirit. He tries as hard as he can. Amen? He'll work on somebody else in the service to bring a spirit of resentment. Amen? To break that atmosphere so someone can't come down and get born again. Amen? That's how he works. He doesn't play fair.
No, right.
But brother, sister, we're overcomers.
Amen.
Amen. We are called to overcome that.
Right.
Amen. That's why you've got to fight for an atmosphere.
Amen.
Amen. You've got to fight the enemies of darkness every time we come together. Amen. And you're not doing it just for yourself.
Right.
You're doing it for your brother, for your sister. Amen.
Yes.
You're not living for yourself.
Amen.
Amen. Hallelujah. He works through teachers saying that the Holy Spirit doesn't come the same way anymore. Amen. That we don't need that stuff anymore. That we're beyond that. Well, we're not beyond the Spirit that gives you power over the devil. Amen. The power of that greater Spirit is in you. Hallelujah. You take that combined with the revealed anointed word, and that makes you an end-time overcomer.
Amen.
Hallelujah. That makes you an end-time overcomer.
Amen.
Amen. Put yourself in there. Amen.
Yes.
That makes me an end-time overcomer.
Amen.
That's right.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
That makes me more than a conqueror, the Bible says.
Right.
Amen.
Amen. Many times we get the wrong idea of when the Bible says a conqueror, right? Or an overcomer. And we get the idea, well, you know, that's like a super Christian, right? Like they get the first little hint that they're getting a cold. And man, they just speak the word and it's gone. That's a conqueror. Right? They fall and twist their ankle and they just speak the word. And the pain is gone. Maybe. Sure, nothing wrong with that. But not always. Amen? It's somebody that, man, they never have heartache or trials or troubles. And man, if the enemy comes to their house and knocking, man, they just send him packing right away. I mean, they're prayed up all the time. That'd be good. Amen. They just rise up and speak that thing out of existence. And then they march on. Yeah. Boo. Hallelujah. It could happen. Amen? But many times, it's not that way. Amen? Many times, it's in that hardest trial. When you're tempted the hardest. Jesus had to go through those things. Right? He didn't just speak those trials away.
Right.
Amen. But yet he was a conqueror.
Amen.
He was an overcomer.
Amen.
Maintaining your testimony that God is a healer while you're in pain.
Right.
Amen.
Maintaining your testimony that God still cares,
Amen.
That he loves me,
Amen.
Even when you feel unlovable. Amen. Even in your deepest, darkest heartache, keeping your testimony, saying God is good all the time. And your coworkers look at you and go, man, with what you're going through and still you say God is good? Yes. Yes, God is good all the time. Amen. Sometimes that's what overcoming looks like, brother, sister. That's what an end time overcomer looks like. Amen. Oh, yes. Miracles can happen and take place, and we believe them and we pray for them. Amen. We pray for healing because the word is true. And God is a healer. And Jesus is a healer. Sometimes it takes a little time, though. Amen. It took 25 years for Abraham, but he was an overcomer. It didn't overcome him. The time didn't overwhelm his faith. His faith overwhelmed the weight. Hallelujah. The overcomer doesn't let any of these things shake them off the word. Amen. Let me give you an example. We often speak about the three Hebrews that went into the fiery furnace. And man, we talk about how the fourth man came and God delivered them. But that wasn't when they overcame.
Right.
Amen. They prayed. They went through a trial of faith. And then those men stood before the king. They stood face to face with their enemy. And they stayed on the word. They said, look, our God is able to deliver us from this fiery furnace. But even if he doesn't, we still won't bow to you. We're going to stay right here on God's word. Brother, sister, that was when they overcame. Not when they were delivered from the furnace. They overcame right then. And God came down and met their faith. But what if he didn't? It happened to many martyrs. It happened to many martyrs that he came down and miraculously delivered them. But it also happened to many that wasn't their role to play. But that didn't mean they weren't overcomers. Amen. The overcoming was standing on the word. Maintaining their testimony. And it doesn't matter if they died then or died later. Every one of those martyrs that stayed on the word, they overcame the enemy in their age. And they will receive the reward of the overcomer in their age. Hallelujah. I mean, Stephen, he was martyred. Was he an overcomer? What about Peter? What about Jesus? Maintained the testimony and fulfilled the word of God. Amen? That's what we're called to do. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. Let's read a couple more statements from the message here. This is from How I Can Overcome. He says, overcome means to recognize the devil in every one of his tricks. A lot of people says there's no devil, it's just a thought. Don't you believe that? There's a real devil. He's just as real as you are and anybody. A real devil, and you must recognize him to be real. You must know that he's a devil. Then at the same time that you recognize him and know that he's a devil and he's against you, then to overcome, you must recognize that the God in you is greater and mightier than he is.
Amen.
That the one that's in you has already overcome him.
Amen.
And by his grace, you are more than a match for him.
Amen.
You are more than a match for him.
Amen.
By his grace. Amen. He says that's real overcoming when you recognize. You look back and say, oh, I'm doing this, I'm doing that. Then you're defeated. There's no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus that walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. Then you realize that you're overcome. You see what he's saying? You point back to your past. Well, I was this and I did that. Did you repent of it? Did you put it under the blood? Then there's no condemnation.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. You overcome it.
Amen.
You know that he's a devil. You can't say, I got a sickness. I don't believe it's a sickness. Oh, yes, it's a sickness. You got cancer. I don't believe it's cancer. It's a cancer. It is cancer. Right? I mean, when people came up with cancer, Brother Branham didn't say, you don't have cancer. No, he told them what was wrong.
Right.
He identified, he called out the demon.
Right.
He lifted the veil.
Amen?
Amen? It's cancer, he said. But remember, greater is he that's in you. I don't care what that devil's name is. Greater is he that's in you than he that's in the world. You must realize that the Holy Spirit that's in you has already overcome the thing. I don't care if its name is depression, cancer, high blood pressure, amen, diabetes. It doesn't matter. What that devil's name is, the Holy Spirit in you has already overcome it. And he's in you, and you can overcome by him. He says, now that's exactly sensible. Yes, sir, exactly the way the scripture is written. Overcoming.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Understanding, Brother Branham, or Brother Sister, when Brother Branham said, you've got to know that there's and recognize that there's a real devil.
Yeah.
Right? What he's saying is, you know, so many people just look at the outward.
Sure.
Right? And they look at the problem and usually there's a face on it.
Sure.
Right? And they're not identifying the enemy at work behind the scenes. But we wrestle not against flesh and blood. Amen. But against principalities and powers and spiritual darkness and wickedness in high places. It's not your brother or your sister that's the problem. It's not your spouse that's the problem. Amen. Amen. It's not your husband or wife or your children that's the problem. It's the enemy.
Amen.
Be an overcomer.
Amen.
Pray through that with patience.
Yes.
And kindness.
Right.
Brotherly kindness. Amen. Let's go to the next one here. Possessing the gate of the enemy in the church of the living God this morning lays the power to heal all sickness.
Yeah. Amen.
All sickness. In the church of the living God lays the power to overcome all temptation. In the possession of the church of the living God this morning lays the power to change sin and throw it away.
Amen.
And receive the baptism of the Holy Ghost.
Amen.
In the church of Jesus Christ, whatsoever you desire, ask in my name and it shall be given to you. A little while in the world, the unregenerated seed will see me no more, yet you'll see me, for I'll be with you even in you until the end of the world. What? The royal seed. The works that I do, shall you do also? I'll verify myself that I'm with you.
Amen.
For these signs shall follow them that believe.
Amen.
He shall possess the seed shall possess the gate of the enemy, no matter what the gate is. If it's sickness, temptation, sin, whatever the gate is, it's conquered.
Amen.
And the seed of Abraham, the end time overcomer, possesses it. Amen. Overcoming sometimes means not being bluffed by the enemy. He tries to convince you that what he has is more powerful. He tries to convince you that the spirit in you is not strong enough, or it's not for you, or he tries to get you to lay down that sword.
Uh-huh.
Amen? Being bluffed by the enemy because he knows that he can't win. Brother, sister, this book right here, I'm glad I have a book. This book right here is full of promises.
Sure.
It's full of promises.
Yeah.
And those promises for you and I are yes and amen and positive. It's full of promises for you and I. Amen? We have every promise on our side. Like if we were to stack up all the promises in the Bible, weigh them on a scale for the enemy. What's his promise? Lake of fire.
Amen.
Defeat.
Right.
Humiliation. Chains. What's our promise? I mean, we can stack them up.
Right.
Amen?
Right.
Tonight, we are a people of promises.
Amen.
An obtainer of promises is an overcomer. Amen?
Amen?
Look, he even has like, he has a promise of a special place built just for him. Just like we do. Only his is a burning lake of fire.
Right.
Amen?
Yeah.
He's promised defeat.
Amen.
Hell was created. The Bible says that hell was created for the devil and his angels.
Amen.
Right? So, that means that it was created with his defeat in mind already.
Sure.
I mean, he was doomed from the beginning.
Right. Yeah.
And you were destined from the beginning. What can separate us? Don't be bluffed by the enemy. Amen? You're the one that's got every promise behind you tonight. You're the one that has the Holy Spirit on your side tonight. He's not on your enemy's side. And he came to Joshua and said, are you with us or are you with the enemy? Amen. He was with them. He wasn't with the enemy. You believe that tonight?
Amen.
The Spirit in you is more powerful than the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eye, and the pride of life. The three great temptations in life. Amen. All the temptations fall into that some way, somehow. But the Spirit that's within you is more powerful than all of that.
Amen.
Amen. Greater is He. Hallelujah. I'm so thankful for that. Amen. Amen. Can we read just a few more here tonight? Because, brother, sister, we have the promise there's a reward for overcoming tonight. Amen? Continuing that message, how can I overcome? He says, you know, one time, the mother of James and John, he says, we won't have time to read it. The mother of James and John came and asked for this place, you know. Lord, let my son set one on the other side and one other son set on the other. That's a mother's desire for a son, right? She said, let them sit. When you have your throne in heaven, let them sit on each side of you. He says, but that place, Jesus said, was predestinated. That this position was not in existence at that time. Did you know that? Why? Notice, it will be granted to them who it's meant for.
Sure.
Yeah.
He couldn't, he said, it's not mine to give. Right? He says, that's not for me. Right, and Brother Branham's saying that position wasn't even in existence yet. He says, what? The one to set at the right hand and the other closest to him was yet an overcomer. See? He said, I don't grant this. I can't grant this, but it will be given after the trial comes. Amen. See, I can't give this, but after the trial comes, they'll sit on the right hand and on the left. There's a predestinated seed waiting out yonder for that. It will be given to the ones that it's promised to. It'll be given there, but the test hadn't come yet. See, he hasn't overcome yet. See? The person that was to take this place on one side and another one to take it on the other side next to him in the kingdom, it wasn't given yet given, see, that overcome. The test hadn't fell yet. It will fall in the future. If we suffer for Christ and his word, we will reign with him, for he is the word. Remember, if we suffer for him and his word, we'll reign with him in his word. Now, this is earlier in that same message. He said, did you notice the arrangements of that? See, set with me in my throne, not on my throne, in my throne. That's his domain, see. And now as Christ is the ruler, throne ruler at this time of the complete domain of God, so will the church be with him, the bride be with him in his throne, in the entire domain, see. Not on my throne, but in my throne. See where his domain reaches. A throne is over a domain, and a domain reaches just as far as as boundaries do. Think this, and this is from eternity to eternity. Amen. His realm is bordered by eternity. That doesn't even have any meaning, really. From eternity to eternity, he says, just think of it. So isn't that worth it?
Yes.
Amen. Amen. To overcome?
Yeah.
Amen. To overcome Laodicea, isn't that worth it?
Yeah.
Amen. Amen. We are more than able through Christ Jesus to stand that test.
Amen.
And obtain that prize. That place is reserved for overcomers because the test has to come before they can be granted the position. Amen. The end time overcomer stays with it right through the finish line.
Yeah, right.
They don't falter at the end because the end is their great, that's the great victory. Amen? If you're not tested, you're not an overcomer. I know we don't like to hear that. I know we don't want to hear about the testing, but the testing of our faith is what proves who we are. Amen. When they do a test, it's to examine whether something is real or not, to prove to everyone that it is what it says it is. This bride is going to be tested and proven. Because God's reputation is on the line. Amen. Amen. When he comes down and he fills you with his spirit, his reputation is on the line. Amen. That's why he'll back up all heaven and earth, or he'll bankrupt heaven to back up on heaven and earth what his word says about you, because his reputation's on the line. Amen. He wants to demonstrate once and for all what he's made of and what his bride has been made of.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Can I read a couple more to you?
Sure.
I don't even know what time it is. We have time.
Yep.
Read a couple more. It's from that same message, how can I overcome? He says, now, let us turn to Revelation, the third chapter at the church ages, repeating a church age, he says, but I could take this one text and with the Holy Spirit preach it 100 years and never get what's in it out. Because in this one text, like all other texts of the Bible, it's all tied together. And I want to take my subject this morning of this, how can I overcome? Now, I chose this because I think that it's a time, look at this, that we should never let the spirit of revival die. We've got to keep in revival constantly. Revived every day. Paul said he had to die daily that Christ could live. And we must never let that revival die within us. Amen. Why? Because to overcome, you rely on that life. You rely on that spirit. That's how you overcome. That's the power of the overcomer. That's the hidden power. That life, that revival. He said we should never let it die. We've got to live in it constantly every day. Amen. Why? Because we have to be overcoming every day.
Right. Right. Amen.
Amen. Amen. One more here. Former and latter reign. He says, let's go over to Revelation where Jesus said himself, he that overcometh, I will give him the morning star. The Bible said that. What is it? An overcomer. One that's overcome the world, overcome self, overcome pride. Oh, that pride is a tough one. So many people get hung up on pride. The end time overcomer will overcome their pride. They won't be able to come otherwise. Everyone that stands up on that day as part of this group will be able to say that they overcame the world, they overcame self, and they overcame pride. And they did it by the blood of the Lamb and the word of their testimony. He says, I'll make him the morning star. What is it to do? I'll shine him up and set him up there. My oncoming power will reflect my own presence. Hallelujah, in the darkness. He that overcomes will I grant, give the morning star. What's the morning star set there for? To reflect the coming sun. What is the morning star? If the sun is shining against it, it's reflecting the presence of the coming of the sun. It's the brightest thing in heaven. The brightest thing in heaven ought to be today and is today the minister or the Christian or the spirit-filled man that's so filled with the Holy Spirit till he's forsaken the world and everything. That makes you the brightest thing in heaven. You the shining morning star reflecting the sun coming. Amen? The world should know that Jesus is coming because they see the sun reflecting in you. He says God is reflecting his light, coming through him, warning the world that the approaching sun is at hand. Oh, what an hour. Amen. What an hour. I say amen to that. Amen. Let's stand tonight. If you've been assigned a test, you've been given a chance. Amen. An opportunity to prove God's word is true. It's a proving time. Amen. He tries and tempts us with discouragement, weariness, all sorts of things. He tries to tempt you with, who do you think you are? Right? Stand up and boldly proclaim the word of God. Who do you think you are?
Yep.
Just a child of God.
Amen.
Amen. I'm a nobody that he made somebody.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Don't let that discouragement overcome you. You overcome that. But you got to recognize it. Amen. That's why Brother Branham says you have to recognize the devil. The overcomer recognizes his tricks. They recognize when it comes that that's not me. That's not my father saying that about me. Because that's not what the word says. I know who's speaking now. You know, oftentimes you'll hear ministers say, oh, how do you know when the devil's lying, right? Because his lips are moving. But it's not always so obvious that he's the one doing the speaking, is it? Because he tries to come as different voices. And he's sneakier than that many times, isn't he? But we know that if what is being said doesn't line up with the word, amen? If he tries to say you're just a worm and that God doesn't love you, we know that that's not what the word says. So we know where that comes from.
Amen.
Amen. If he's trying to bring you a word of discouragement, he's trying to tell you something that God hasn't said about you, you know who's speaking. And you should rise up as an end time overcomer. Amen. And cast that down.
Amen.
Amen. Let's bow our heads tonight. Oh, Father, how we love you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for your word of promise tonight, oh God. We thank you, Lord, for the spirit that you've given us, Lord, to overcome Laodicea, to overcome every trick of our adversary, Lord. We thank you, Lord, for grace, grace, Lord. When we fall and make a mistake, Lord, there's grace to find repentance and to stand up again and keep on marching onward. Oh, God, how we love you and thank you tonight. Father, I pray that you would just bless your people, Lord. Lord, I pray that this word would just find a bedding ground, Lord, tonight, Lord, that you would come and anoint it with your spirit, Lord, that you would bring power tonight, Lord, to your children, Lord. If they've been rolling over for the enemy, Father, maybe they've been attacked by discouragement and trials and temptations, Lord, I pray that you would raise up a spirit inside of them that would reject that, that would speak against that spirit tonight, that would resist the devil, and you promise, Lord, that he would flee. Oh, hallelujah. God, help us to keep that spirit of revival in our lives and in our homes and in our church, oh God. Help us, Father, to continue, Lord, to fight that fight in overcoming, Lord God, those spirits that would come against, Lord, the atmosphere of faith that we're trying to create here, that we labor, oh God, to come into, where you can move and have freedom, Lord, to deliver and to heal and, Lord, to defeat the demons of darkness. Oh, God, you're so good, Lord. We know you're coming soon. Lord, we want to be walking tonight as end time overcomers. Bless your people here tonight, Lord. We thank you, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. Hallelujah. In Christ alone, my hope is found. He is my light, my strength, my song. This cornerstone, this solid ground, firm through the fiercest drought and storm. What heights of love! Christ alone.